you found us on a Thursday evening, and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're arranging cornflakes by size, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
And that means it's time to bring in our Sly Silverback. Some say he's been knighted by the Queen as the Duke of Cache. And others say he's currently banned from all floral competitions in the Northern Hemisphere. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, guys, look at that. We got the band back together. Woo! Wits End. We've got Chris of the Northwest. We got myself. And we even got somebody extra joining us tonight.
Hi, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Good to have you here as well. And about the floral competitions ban, there's a real big backstory on that. We'll get to that in the hour. But, we want to remind everybody who does participate in supporting this show how much we appreciate them. So patrons, thank you very much for keeping this podcast coming every week. And if you want to know more about supporting the show, click that old Patreon link in the cachingnw.com website. Now, this week we are going to talk with Goblin Dust, as we've introduced, and we're going to learn a little bit more about some big Northwest event that's coming up a little later this summer that everybody's excited about. So we'll talk all about that in a little bit. But before we get going, it's time to start glowing.
That's right. We always like to start off the show with a glow, because, good logs just make geocaching better. The glow, of course, is an acronym for the geocaching log of the week. And this log came from Mr. Hippo. Now, it's a DNF log. We talked about DNFs recently, and maybe you could have earned the DNF Avenger badge, but that's a topic for another moment. Right now, we're going to read the DNF log for a traditional cache, B12 Cascade Falls. That's GC3HM0G. And the log reads, I relied on the hint as well, but couldn't find it. So off we went to the next cache up the hill, and it was a fortuitous day for it. As we made our way along the upper trail, a little girl came running up and yelling, help. Turns out her father slipped and fell into the water, and he couldn't get out. She and the junior hippos ran for more help, and I went down the embankment to help him. He was wedged up against a large boulder, up to his neck with raging water and about 20 feet from the lip of the falls. All the wood was rotten around there, so I knocked down a large sapling, and as I was walking it back, another man came to the top of the hill between us. We managed to use it to pull him out of the water and onto shore, and just in time. He was freezing from the mountain runoff, and he'd been about to make a last-ditch attempt to dive across on his own. I wouldn't normally add this much to a DNF, but it shows just how important it is to be careful at the side of a river and how dangerous they can be. I'll watch this for a while, and hopefully I was just blind to the hide, and as always, I'll be back.
Wow. That's a story.
that's a DNF for the record books right there. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you gone out caching and actually saved someone's life?
Me? Zero.
Oh.
Yeah, no, not very often indeed. And I know Mr. Hippo, he's a local cacher up here. So, next time I see him, which hopefully will be this Sunday, I have to give him a high five for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Hippo, for being a hero.
And it just shows to go, yeah. Don't go out in the backcountry alone. At least he had his daughter with him to run for help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's why you should always travel in groups.
Yep. Bring a buddy.
Without a doubt. Now, we've got some audio to play this week, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Yes, this is Monkey Cakes calling from Cash GC11Delta Tango 6 for find number 2500. Thank you. Bye.
There you go. 2500 finds. Monkey Cakes actually beat me to 2500. I'm saving 2500 for a certain event this weekend.
Congratulations, Monkey Cakes. That's great.
Very cool. Yes. Exactly. Congrats, Monkey Cakes. And thank you for calling that in.
Yeah, we appreciate calls. They don't have to be long and complicated. That was just great.
Absolutely. Hey, I know we got some news and we're itching to get to it, but before we do, there's a little bit of There's a ointment for that too.
Oh, it's a rash.
Before we get to that, there is a little bit of news from Geocaching HQ that we don't have in the show notes. I wanted to share this because our research department shared it with me earlier today. There are new maps posted as of 9 hours ago. If you go to geocaching.com, or I believe you'll find it on the app as well. So let's see. The story says from Geocaching HQ, we've made updates to the trails map in the geocaching app and the geocaching map on geocaching.com. Yeah, in the geocachinger app and on the website. To see the changes, go to maps, select leaflet as your default map system, which I had previously, so I noticed this right away. They've added topographic contour lines and hill shading, which is super helpful.
Mm.
What else? Additional style changes that reduce the prominence of roads, buildings, and commercial centers. So there's now more contrast and focus on trails, parks, and geographic features. All OpenStreetMap data is updated and will now update every 1 to 2 months. And there was a little issue with right to left languages that were not displaying correctly. So those who read Hebrew or Arabic, that'll help you out.
That helps me a lot because I was having trouble reading them before.
Reading the Arabic, now it'll be no problem at all.
Exactly.
Good, good. Hey, but really cool. The contour lines and hill shading is a significant improvement on the maps. I used to always switch over to the, the cycling maps, because they, those would have the contours, but now you can actually get elevations and contour lines, which is super, super helpful. So there you go. You heard it. You heard it here. Probably not first, but you heard it here.
Well, it's only 9 hours old.
Yeah, that's good.
I actually pulled it up here while you were talking and went to the big park near me. And yes, all the trail maps are on it. So very nice.
Sweet. So there you go. Thank you, research department. And of the research department, this was in particular Brylang who sent us that.
The old school research department.
Well, you know, a department is multiple people, and Brylang is one of the members of the research department.
Fair enough.
It's not a comment on his age either. Maybe it should be. No, we won't go there. Hey, there's more news. Cool. Tonight is the first draw for the contest. You probably heard about this contest. If you haven't, let me tell you about it. We're talking about DNFs. We just read a log about quite a dramatic DNF, but not all DNFs are so dramatic. But what we want you to do is we want you to go out and avenge your DNF, become a DNF avenger. So, prizes. Well, our good friend Subway Mark donated two $25 Gold Country gift certificates to be used at such a large number of businesses, it would take the rest of the show to thoroughly talk about it, in Gold Country, British Columbia. These are the first prizes that we're giving away in our DNF Avengers contest.
And that's Avengers with an S, right? Not without the S, like I keep screwing up.
Either way, I'll look both ways on Twitter and Facebook for that.
All right. So, do we have a wiener?
Oh, yes. I did go through the ways to enter first.
Oh, okay. So, that's me then, right? That's why there was this long pause, because you were waiting for me to say something, and probably the thing that's written for me to say. Okay.
Well, that's kind of what I was going for, because I didn't want to just talk over you and keep going, but... Feel free.
Professionalism here, folks. You saw it here first. All right. So how do you enter? Well, I'll tell you what. You share your story of an avenged DNF. Use the hashtag DNF Avengers with the S, or without the S, and Chris will be nice and still find it.
Well, if it's without the S, you DNF'd the word.
Yeah. Cool. You know, think about like Avengers, like the big movie that just came out. Anyways. Hashtag DNF Avengers. Use that in your story. If you share your story on Twitter, if you share your story on Facebook, that way we'll know it's there. If you can remember to use @CachingNW, then that for sure makes sure we see it. So that's awesome. Email your DNF Avenger story to us directly, feedback@CachingNW.com. We share it for you. Tweet your story. Well, that's what I was just saying. Tweet a link to it if it's on your blog. Post your story on Facebook. Tag us in it. You know, there's all kinds of different ways. Use your social media prowess, but make sure you use that hashtag, DNF Avengers.
That's right. Now, every entry is going to receive a special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching.com profile. And I sent out many of those today. I'm still working on it. And, you know, you may win prizes. Now,
hey, I'm gonna jump in for one second.
Go ahead.
If you're watching live, you're in the chat, and you got your DNF Avengers badge from Chris, just mention it in the chat. We want to know if you got it.
I sent it out via email.
Ooh,
it's okay. A quick little one line of HTML code you add into your profile and poof, you have a new badge.
Poof.
Yeah, all right. Poof. That's all it takes is poof.
All right. Well, let's keep this going because I know Scott's getting bored waiting for
me. Bored?
Oh, we just woke him up. Okay. Well, I need a drum roll. Because the winner of the two $25 Gold Country gift certificates are Alpine's GC.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Congrats.
Congrats. So Land Monkey will get those to you, I believe.
Yes.
Or they'll be in the mail.
Yep, we'll figure it out.
I don't remember the method of delivery at this point, so I shouldn't have said anything.
We will get it to Alpine's GC. Alpine's GC, if you are planning to come to CacheCon on Sunday, let me know, and we'll make sure we hook up with you and get you those. All right.
Cool. Good deal. All right. Now, we did a show not too long ago on GSAC, and we've got some feedback from Randy of JR and Juju. Let's take a listen. All I have to do is click. Let's take a listen.
Hi, this is Randy of JR and Juju. Just listened to your article on GSAC and really enjoyed it. But I disagree that it is mainly for heavy users. We use it when we go geocaching in a new area. It has an option that allows you to pull in caches in an up to 62 square mile area. And it does it in a rectangular square area, so those pesky corners are covered and you have minimal overlap. One can filter that comes with it allows you to search for geocaches that the last two logs be in DNF, so you can remove those. You can also filter out caches easily, like mold, these are mystery, or high terrain. With the ability to sort by columns, the last sort we do is favorite points, so we know what we really want to get. GSAC is a powerful tool, and it makes our geocaching experience a whole lot better. Thank you for the show, and you guys have a great day.
See, isn't that better when they call in, when mm-hmm. people call in and we hear it in their voice? Because we would just read it very robotically and it puts no feeling in it.
It's all about that feeling. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, Kev MacD, who is live in the chat. Thank you very much. That was the episode that he joined us for. So that's the feedback to you, Kev MacD, as well as to us.
Love it.
All right. So more news. If you hadn't heard, Big Blue Switch Day. Now, I'm a little unclear as to whether it's the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th of May, but it's right in this range here.
Yeah. My understanding is Big Blue Switch Day was the 2nd, which was yesterday, right? Am I thinking right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're correct.
And 3rd was the day that the first geocache was hidden. So Big Blue Switch, also known as selective availability, arguably the only good thing to ever come out of the Clinton administration. So, yeah,
we're not arguing.
I guess it all depends on which side of the administration you're on.
Okay.
That's a different podcast.
We've even got more feedback. Ooh. It's just so full of feedback.
We're full of something.
You know, feedback can be great. Feedback can be, shall we say, constructive criticism. The contributor of this feedback said, I wanted to share a geocaching.com pet peeve. Is that okay? Let's do that.
All right.
Says, I've been a geocacher since 2012. I've hidden 18 caches over the years, but recently I published a new cache and found the setup a pain in the butt. My gripe is with adding text, dialogue, links, pictures, etc. Now, I've noticed hardly anyone adds any real flair to their cache pages, and now I know why. Why do I have to do it with HTML? I'm white and nerdy. That doesn't bother me. But anyway, this contributor says, why can't it be done for me like it used to be done in the past? Drag and drop kind of way. Now I have to use another website to do it. He lists a website there. He says, I create my cache description, add pictures and such, and then I have to convert it over to HTML, copy it over to geocaching.com, set up. They're unhappy. I miss seeing creative cache pages, he says. Now they're boring for the most part. What do you guys think of the issue? Oh, and they contributed. This is from Retro. I also recently downloaded the TB Scanner app for iPhone, and it works great. Has anybody else used it?
Yep.
The best line, of course, is thanks for the great podcast, as always. I'm finally done, Land Monkey. Go.
And that's from Retro. Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Retro. Appreciate getting that feedback. So first of all, TB Scan, I use that as well. I started using it recently. I love it. I think it's super helpful.
Is there an Android version?
Of course, the Android version. And like everything, it's not perfect. There's sometimes where it just cannot read the TB code. But most of the time, it works quite well. And it's super handy. It speeds up the process. So that's great. HTML. So didn't they just recently change?
Yes.
Change it back?
This is what I've heard. They recently changed it.
Yeah.
You know, I can do HTML, so it's not that much of a pain.
Right.
And I just put in the generic information, then go back and edit it with the HTML. I don't try to do it as I'm creating it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. I have to go look to see if you create a new patch. Is there a WYSIWYG editor that you can, you know, let's see. Jamie Mead says the WYSIWYG editor, when you create the cache page is the first time is great. Then you're forced to use HTML editor, needs a switch to use either. Mm-hmm. Ah, there we go.
There you go. And I think that's Mr. Hippo, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And if that is Mr. Hippo, welcome to the chat.
Yeah.
I can't remember seeing you in here before. So awesome. I used to be a HTML web designer guy myself, and I haven't done it for so long. So to me, it's just a pain in the butt because it's like, oh, now I got to try to remember. Did I close the bracket? I don't know. So yeah.
Oh, you don't need to close every bracket.
What could go wrong? Just close the door. All right. You know what? Exactly. Why don't we close this part of the conversation and get into the main part of the show? Sound good?
Okay.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
A convincing argument from the monkey. I love it. All right. So let's get into our main show. Goblin Dust, you have been so patient waiting for us to get through all this.
Not a problem. It's fun to listen to you guys talk. You're kind of insane, so it's okay.
Perfect. Well, I have cached with you, so I'm just going to say we're in good company tonight.
That's true. It's true. It's no fun not being normal is no fun.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, great to have you here. So, Chris, do you want to lead off?
Certainly. Now, Goblin Dust, we've asked you to come tonight to share about a big event that's planned for this summer. So, just to start out, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, what it's all about? Let's start with the event name and maybe the GC code, a location, brief overview.
Yeah, we can do that. So the event name is Parlay, like it's 1699. And it is basically, of course, a geocaching event that's pirate-based, okay? So, but the difference in this one and being a pirate-based sitting in a park or something is the event, a lot of it goes on tall ships out on the water doing battle sails with cannon fire and all the good stuff. So it's a lot of fun to be out in the water. And, oh, you want the GC number, of course. That's important, right?
Mm-hmm.
GC, I believe it's 7HB46. I'm pretty sure I've got that memorized just about right. So anyway, yeah, it's just going to be a really big event. It was last time I did it in Port Orchard, Washington. And the reason it's happening again is so many people wanted to have it back. So it's going to happen again here this August 18th. And 18 here. So it's 8-18-18. Interesting number, huh?
Ooh,
nice. Yeah, I know. So it should be a lot even bigger this year as we still have the tall ships coming in just for that. We have a lot of cannon firing going off. And the last time I did bring in a third ship. And if I need more room, I probably can bring in some more. And they all go out in the water and fire back at each other. It's just a lot of fun. What else can I tell you about it? Ask me questions. I'll answer anything.
All right. Okay. So I've got a question for you. So you've said parlay like it's 1688 or 1699?
Correct, yes.
All right. And so obviously a pirate theme here. Yes. Are the folks who attend encouraged to participate in the theme in any particular way?
In many ways, yes. One way is to dress like a pirate. I ask them not to steal. I know pirates want to do that, but you know, so no politicians are invited, of course. But okay.
What about plundering?
Plundering is okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I mean, what the heck, you know? I mean, really, I'm keel hauling is fine too, as far as I'm concerned. But getting a volunteer is really hard in this day and age.
Yeah.
Basically, a lot of people do dress up, and this year several other groups are getting involved. That day, Port Orchard is having its Farmers Market 40th anniversary. They're expanding a little bit. The Fathoms of Fun, who's the local group, they're coming on board too, and they're looking at a pirate costume contest. They're looking into a beer garden, and they're looking at some live music. We also have a place called Slaughter County, which is a bar down the street that is going to have some land-based cannons, and it's a pirate-based bar.
Fun.
So it is building as we go. I don't know all exactly what's going to happen, and I'm not in control of the other groups, of course, but they are bringing on more stuff on board to make it more of a fun day than even last time.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it should be good. And we will have what's that? Go on.
No, I was this is all amazing. I saw you recently at an event, and I went to what I think is the first pirate tall ship sailing event you put on. It was in 2012. So it's been 6 years you've been building to this.
Well, I put one on in 2016 mm-hmm. in Port Orchard. So this is the third one. Yes. Yeah, so the first one, you're right, started off in Bremerton in 2012. That is correct.
And, you know, I have to say, I went out on the tall ships at that time. And that was one of the events that I look back in my life and go, wow, I am so glad I did this. It was incredible.
Thanks for attending.
So, because it was so good for me, I think everybody wants to do it. So if a cacher wanted to participate in the tall ship sailings, is there still an opportunity? Is it too late? Are they all sold out? Or can they still jump in? Or, well, no, jump on board. Jumping in would be...
They can jump in too. That's okay. It's whatever. Hey, you know, it's free country. Yes, there are still tickets available. When they'll be sold out, I have no idea. That's when they're all gone, they're gone. But yes, they're still available. And I'll try, if they run out, to get some more boats out too, if need be, because I want everybody to have a good time. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So depending upon when people listen to the podcast or otherwise find out about the event, there is a possibility that you may miss out on getting on the ships. So the question is, can cashers still enjoy the event experience even if they can't get on the ships?
Oh yes, there's quite a bit to do in town that day. Plus, they can watch from the shore. That's quite fun. There's a lot of people that don't like being on boats, but they enjoy getting into the fun and festivities. They can dress up, they can come out, they can yell and scream. And we also have, this is basically, you know, the free event, of course, part where we'll be giving off scratch off tickets for winning prizes and stuff like that. So there'll be a lot to do in town, and there'll be lab caches, of course, in downtown. So there will be other stuff to do for the people on the boats and the people that don't want to go on the boats.
All right. So it's always great to have extra stuff to do. Lab caches are fun. There's free events, free things to do around there. Geocachers, it's been my experience, like to arrive early, it seems. How early would you recommend they arrive, though, if they want to maximize the experience and take advantage of all the extra things there are to do up there?
Well, I'd wait till the sun came up anyway.
Okay.
So, you know.
Good place to start, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the dark time. basically, on the boat sailings, there's a 9 to 11, a 12 to 2, a 3 to 5, and a 6 to 8 p.m. sailing. And they really should arrive at least about an hour before sailing to make sure they get all signed in, all that stuff. Okay. But they can be the whole day to do stuff. Like I said, there's the lab caches, there's the boats, there's the bar where they have the pirate bar they can visit, where they have the cannons going from the land there, shooting out at the ships. There's the farmer's market. We have a special group, Calypso Cache, I think. They're going to bring a big tent. They sell pirate gear, fun to look at. There should be a lot of booths out there that day, a lot of things to look at. And like I said, they're hoping for live music, beer garden. So pretty much they can spend the whole day there if they want to and not be bored, I wouldn't think.
Great.
Wow. It probably should arrive early, because the later in the day, the better chance that the ships will be sunk.
Well, that's true. Yes, yes. It may only have one sailing.
Could happen.
That's hilarious, especially with the shore-based cannons now as well.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Somebody may put in a live round. Who knows?
Oops, slip.
So, Scott, you said this isn't the first year you've held the event. This is your third time. Will this be similar if people have gone to the other two, or is this different enough that if you've gone before, you really should check this one out?
Well, it's like anything. It'll be similar but different. Of course, the lab caches will be different. So brand new lab caches for that. If you've been on the boats, they usually have different crews in the boats by this time. So you might be different people you get to be with in the boat. There'll be a lot of different people sailing. So you meet new friends and talk about different geocaching adventures. The weather might be different. And like I said, with the farmer's market and the Fathoms of Fun being there this time, there'll be more going on in town. So right, that'll make it extra things to do. We also will have an event the night before, I believe, which should be pretty good size. And then, of course, the day after that, hang around for the weekend, Ape Mega is on Sunday. So I definitely stay around for a few days and go to that the next day.
That is amazing. That is going to be one jam-packed weekend. All day Saturday on and near the water. All day Sunday up near the mountains and the tunnels. Okay, the tunnel individual.
The tunnel. Yeah, it should be a good weekend. And a lot of people are coming out from far distance for just the Ape and stuff. So why not make a weekend of it? And the tall ships are basic, historic, wonderful things too. Just to be on, I'd like to say you can enjoy it from the land if you want to, but it is quite fun to be out on the water with them and watch them raise the sails and how they do all that stuff. And you really do get into the battles. You yell and scream at the other one and everybody brags they're sunk the other one, but it's just a lot of fun.
That's right. Now, these ships that are coming, they're not just, you know, somebody's little side project that they do on the weekends. These are ships that are authentic, at least looking. They may not be the actual ships of the 1600s. However, they've been used in several movies as props, and they are gorgeous sailing vessels.
Well, that's quite true. Yes, the Lady Washington is an all wooden. It's an exact replica of one from whatever era it came from. And you're quite correct. A lot of that filming on the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Johnny Depp one, was done on that boat. A lot of filming on there. And the Hawaiian Chieftain, I think, is a steel hull, but it's a wood-covered one in the same replica-type style and all. So it's a historical thing to be on, too.
It really is. Anybody in the Northwest knows that you, Goblin Dust, are associated with some incredible, amazing geocaches.
They're okay.
Well, they're okay. Well, will this event have any of your incredible geocaches there for the people to check out?
I may not have any in town there, but Port Archer is very close to the area I live in. So within about 15, 20 minutes, there are quite a few of them around the area. So they can, if they want to come up on Friday and do some of those, it's a good day to do that. Or if they want to take off a little time from the Port Archer on Saturday and go down and do some, they're very close to them.
And it's worth it, guys. If you can squeeze in some of those Goblin Dust caches, you're going to walk away going, wow, that was cool.
They are top notch.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you like them. I enjoy putting them out there. So it's fun to put them together.
Thank you for contributing to the game, into the playing field. Now, there might be people listening that aren't familiar with the whole area there, the town, the area, the harbor, the Port Orchard, all that you mentioned. What can you tell us about that area for people that may be coming from slightly outside the area or even outside the Northwest?
Well, it's a very scenic area. We have a lot of the big trees and stuff like that. It's very forest up in that area, except for downtown, of course, in the cities. But there's lots of lodging nearby. It's a very coastal area with the inland sound there. So it's it's a good views, and it's close to a lot of like thing like the Olympic National Forest. It's close to that. So a lot of things to do, and there's a lot of lodging in the area too. It's not far from Port Archer's Gig Harbor. Has lodging. Gig Harbor is a cute little town. Bremerton has lodging. Basically, Silverdale, Polesbo is a really nice little town to visit too, down on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. So it's and there's a lot of just historic things around that area too. And I'm not familiar with all of them, of course, but it's a good area to come and visit, and a lot of hiking trails. If into hiking.
Okay. Nice,
definitely. If I'm not mistaken, you can take a ferry from Seattle to maybe not quite Port Orchard, but at least to the peninsula there, can't you?
That's correct. There's the car ferry goes into Bremerton there from Seattle. And that's a really 1 hour, very scenic, nice ride too. Mm-hmm. They just started up a walk-on ferry that goes right to Port Orchard there over to Seattle. Yeah. And it's just getting started up. So there are some issues, of course, getting it all fine-tuned, but it should be by that time, hopefully running very well.
Good.
So there's lots of ways to get there.
And Bremerton is our naval shipyards in the area. So, I always enjoy driving around the waterfront there at Bremerton to see the big naval ships. So.
Yes, it is quite nice there to be at where my event goes out of. If you look across the water there, you see the shipyard and you see some of the aircraft carriers that they kind of mothball and take parts off, which is kind of interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be interesting. Cool. So you touched on when the event wraps up, what some of the options are, and I think you were saying the head out to the APE event. So while we're sort of talking about that, how far away is it to get to the Snoqualmie area from the Port Orchard area? Is it like just a couple hours, or is it how much planning do you need to do for that?
It's only about 2 hours, I think, to drive from there. It's a nice drive. You just basically cross the Tacoma Narrows Bridge and zip on over there. And Sunday, there's not much traffic going up there, going that direction. So it's pretty easy to get there. Yeah. And I think the APE event runs till 2 p.m. or something like that in the afternoon.
I think that's right.
Best to try and leave Port Orchard.
10 to 2 or something like that. Yeah. But, basically, you can spend more time up there if you want or whatever. And,
right.
That's a really pretty area up there near the falls and stuff like that. It's nice.
It is for sure. Cool. All right. What else have we got? We have, I haven't seen anything coming in on the chat specific to.
The APE event is from 10 to 2 on Sunday, August 19th.
Okay.
That is GC7HJBN. So GC7 Hotel Juliet Bravo November.
Cool.
And that's well worth going to. I recommend people go to that. It's fun. I love going through the tunnel. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go there. I've been there twice, but I'm going to do it again right after my event because it's just fun to go through.
It's a great event. We've walked it. We've bicycled through the tunnel. It's a fun event.
Kev MacD wants to know if Caching in the Northwest will be there. I'm planning to be there for the APE event. I think I've missed 1 year, but it's one of those that, I think, was it last year? Year before, I didn't plan to walk through the tunnel, but I did anyway because I was there. So, yeah, it's a great event. It's worth going to.
Very cool. In the chat as well, we've got Stephanie said, I would imagine the Goblin Dust lab caches are amazing if you don't get a chance to get out and find his caches. So there you go, Scott. More kudos for you and your
creative. Yeah. Well, I enjoy putting them together. Yeah, the lab caches they'll be different from last time, and they should be fun. They're not looking for a number on the wall or something like that. They're all interactive.
Nice. How many lab caches are there?
I'll put out 10 for that day.
Okay.
And they'll probably run like a Thursday through Sunday or something for that area.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very cool.
But, yeah. I enjoy putting them together and it's fun to make and everything. So.
Nice.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up unless, Scott, before we close out the main part of the show, was there anything else about the event that is important that you want to make sure people knew about?
About the only thing is, if they're interested in going on the boats, if they go to the cache event page, there's a link on there for tickets. I'll take them right to a place where they can purchase tickets and stuff like that. And they can pick on which boat they want to be in the sailing times. And I think that's pretty much it. If they, you know, they can email me if they have any questions.
There you go. Yeah, that's actually a really important tip. So thanks for sharing that, Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, not a problem. I thank you guys for having me on and stuff like that. And yeah. Was fun being here with three strange people.
Yeah. We are strange.
We didn't get any stranger than this.
Exactly. There you go.
We'll give you some candy afterwards, but don't
thank
take
you.
It.
Okay. Don't get it. All right.
You guys are bad.
Guys. So Scott, if you want to hang around after we close up the show, we have the after show where we just start chit chatting with the folks over in the chat here.
Sure. Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And folks, thanks for tuning in. Whether you're listening to this in your car, if you're at the bus stop, if you're on a hashtag geocache road trip, or hey, if you're even listening live, we appreciate you tuning in tonight, joining us, and we hope you have enjoyed this episode of Caching in the Northwest. We want to remind you, we've got some fun shows coming up May 10th, which will be the next show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to celebrate Mother's Day. We're going to have a Mother's Day special. This will be one mother of an episode.
Yay, moms.
Oh, you can't say it that way, Lane Monkey.
I think you just did.
Too late.
Oh, okay. May 17th, we're going to talk with Jen Davis and JD Parkman about the Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge, another big event coming up here. May 24th is Getting Started with Multicaches. This is episode number 2 of Getting Started with Geocaching. We talked about traditionals before. This time we're talking specifically about multicaches.
Right arm.
I like multis.
Multis are a lot of fun sometimes. They're done right.
Yeah.
Like any geocache.
If done right.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, you know, we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and worldcaching.com. Folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And a special shout out thank you to all of our supporters, every single one of you patrons. That is B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, and Teus, Keats 94, and Curiosity Girl. Thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you, each and every one of you, and all of the rest of you out there as well. And, you know, we mentioned some great shows coming up next week. We're going to celebrate Mother's Day, but until next week, maybe somebody wants to reach out and get in touch with one of us or even our illustrious guest there. Where could people reach out and find you on interwebs?
All right. Well, I'll jump in there first. So for myself, if you want to find out more about the Land Monkeys, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Periscope. We're at Land Monkey GC on Facebook. It's Team Land Monkey. And of course, videos are all up there on YouTube. Just search Land Monkey on YouTube.
And those are some awesome videos, by the way.
Thank you.
Even the ones that I appear in are not bad.
There's been some pretty good acting in it, I gotta say.
You can also find me out there on the social medias at Wits End. That's the only podcast host here with a Z right in the center of the handle. Facebook, geocaching, Google, Twitter, you know.
All those places.
All those places.
And if you're looking for Caching NW, head on over to Twitter. You can find cachingnw.com there, or cachingnw there, and facebook.com/cachingnw. You know what? Because we never get them right. Well, I don't get them right. The other guys, they get them right. Head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts, read our bios, and find all the links that we just mentioned. But most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call into 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or give us a ride to an event any time of the day or night. Of course, you can always email us at feedback@cachingnw.com.
Your support helps keep quality shows coming. And if you like this show, please click on the Patreon link on the CashingNW.com website. And subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. The show is produced by Chris Umpenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris, Jay, and Jim Hallwood. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license. Copyright 2018 by Chris Umpenauer. And folks, we invite you to stay tuned for
the After Show.
There you go. Now, folks, if you're new to
the After Show,
it's just a continuation of an ongoing chat with those who are here live. So we get Goblin Dust. He's going to stay with us a little bit and, you know, ask him some odd questions. Like, starting off, Iham wants to know, how does one go about obtaining an unused Port-a-John anyway?
Ooh, well, that's an interesting question.
Exclusive content right here on Caching the Northwest.
Well, I thought about this quite a while back to do that, and so I was looking into used ones and stuff like that, and they're very hard to find. Somebody wants to sell you a used one at a decent price, and so I was driving by a porta potty place one day, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just go in and ask them. And as it turned out, they were geocachers, and really? They were very happy with the yes. They don't geocache a lot, but they knew about it, and they were very happy with it. And they actually built me one for free.
So wow. You one?
Yes, they had some parts, and a little bit, you know, the colors were a little bit different than all one normal one, but they put it together for me, made a pad for it, and put it all together for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, oh, I had no idea it was specially built just for you.
Yes, it was. And it never been used either.
And we hope it never has been.
Well, you guys have been to it, right? So I don't think it will be used. Yep. It's kind of hard to mistake that. So.
You know, I was looking at that. That's one of those caches that, you know, you don't forget. And I remember my son and I were coming back from somewhere, heavy traffic on the freeway. And I was like, oh, there's a cache we've got to go to. And we got there 5 minutes before the place closed and got in there, and it was a blast. My son and I loved it. And just recently I looked it up to show someone and was like, I never logged that. So now I have to go back.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you can do it the second time around too.
Yeah. I have not found that cache yet. Approximately where is it?
It hasn't moved. They haven't moved it in all the years it's been there. It hasn't moved an inch. Well, maybe a couple inches.
Centralia.
It's about an hour south of Tacoma, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Centralia, right there.
Yeah.
So, and it's actually a really nice downtown area. There's the McMenamins and cute little businesses to go through and stuff. So it's a good place to spend a few hours visiting.
Is there a McMenamins now?
Huh. Yes, down in been one for a long time down there in Centralia since 2010 or something.
Oh.
No, more before that. Before that, for a 6 or 8 or something like that. It's been a long time.
You know, I might have been down there at that time. I was down there for, I don't know, 9 months or so. And it's a great little area. I like it.
Yeah, it is nice because most people think of it as just the, they call it sick, or those outlet stores or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you actually go down at the old part of town, it's really nice to see a lot of little cute little shops going to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the outlet stores is what keeps the place in business, but that's not the heart of the town.
No, it's true.
Dora Moore says, I Googled buy a porta potty. She says, do it. You won't be disappointed. Oh, I don't know if I want to Google buy a porta potty.
We'll have to check it out now. See what it says. Yeah,
exactly.
I typed buy and I think it auto completed porta potty. So,
ooh.
Search.
There are deluxe models or specialized versions, such as the high-rise restrooms are $100 to $150 a day or $300 to $500 a month. If you're looking to purchase a unit as a standard portable restroom, it starts at $700. There you go.
What a bargain.
So, Goblin Dust, you got a great deal.
I got a really good deal, yeah. Yeah, that was what was keeping me from doing it before, was the expense of buying a new one. Quite expensive. So I lucked out.
So yeah. In case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about Johnny Island's throne room. That's GC57ZJR. I posted the link to it in the show notes for those who are watching live, or if you're watching the video previously recorded, that'll show up in the chat feed on the side.
Yeah. Fabulous, Cash. Mr. Hippo says, we took our extended family there after going to Great Wolf Lodge. It's an incredible Cash.
There you go.
Thanks. Glad you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for that promotion there.
Anytime. All right. What else have we got going
on? We've got porta potty chat going on. I don't know how to deal with this.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
That's right.
We got.
I've dealt with a lot of things in all these years of podcasting. I haven't dealt with porta potty chatter.
We got a couple of folks wondering where their DNF Avengers badge is. So if Chris hasn't gotten it to you yet, it's on its way.
It's stuck at the border.
Probably.
Okay, I responded to everybody who emailed in. Those who posted on Twitter, I've still got to hunt down your email addresses and send those to you.
All right. Okay, what else have we got? Keats94 says, see you at CashCon on Sunday. Looking forward to it. So that'll be fun. That's the
Sun Monkey. Talk once more about CashCon.
Talk about,
because after this, it won't matter.
Yeah, right. After this episode, we're going to talk about it in the past tense. CashCon is going to be a really fun event up here in Richmond, British Columbia. We are basically running a small one-day conference with all kinds of expert guest speakers on different topics that are either directly or indirectly geocaching related. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a botanist who's going to talk all about identifying Northwest plants and trees. We've got someone's going to teach you how to read a map and use a compass. We have sessions on all the way from beginner, like I've never geocached before, I don't know what to do, to I'm a pretty advanced geocacher or outdoors person, and challenge me a bit. We've got a session on first aid, wilderness first aid. We've got a session on survival techniques, or really it's more about getting home safely and how to plan properly for an outdoor geocaching adventure. We've got puzzle solving. Our very own Dora Moore is putting on a session about puzzle solving.
Ooh,
awesome. There was a question in the chat earlier. I can't find it right now, so I can't remember who asked it, but there was a question of, will there be a live podcast at CashCon? And yes, there will be during the lunch break. Cash in the Northwest will be doing a live podcast.
Surprise.
Surprise. Also, Bounce is coming up, and he will be displaying some of his geocache creations at CashCon. So definitely head over and check that out. He's going to be having his stuff set up over by the vendors' booths. Speaking of vendors, we will have Gold Country there. Any questions about the Gold Country Geo Tour, they'll be there to answer your questions. We will also, of course, have worldcaching.com, sponsor of this show, who will be having their booth set up there. So
nice.
Tons of stuff. This is the thing. There's enough to keep you busy all day, or just go for a couple things and enjoy your time there. It's going to be fun. What else can I say?
I don't know. What else can you say?
I think I said
it. Oh. Yeah, CashCon. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking. I personally want Dora Moore to solve two or three puzzles I haven't been able to solve. And that's really what I'm looking for. That's what that session's all about, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it's yes. Show up and just bring your list of puzzles, and she'll personally solve all your puzzle caches for you. I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
It's got to be it.
Yeah. That, I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm in so much trouble now.
More than normal?
No.
Okay.
The normal amount.
Just checking.
So much is about the normal amount. Dora Moore says in the chat, she says, well, you can try. good answer. All right.
Oh, the weather's supposed to be great. What is the current forecast?
Not raining.
Oh, the weather's always great in Canada.
You know, going across the border, I tell you, when you're driving north and you just cross the border and you get into this big open plain, mountains out, it seems so far, many kilometers away. It's a really impressive drive coming in to Canada. So I just throw that out there.
You know, they designed it that way
from where I came from. Oh, they designed it that way?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Custom build. Yeah, that's right.
Want to borrow my Nexus card? Too bad.
Yes, let me try it.
Too bad.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen to you?
You'll
never get across the border again.
Not happening.
It's not a good idea at all.
Oh, come on.
All right. Well,
Dormore and Brylang, I hope you're happy.
Why is that?
Sent them their DNF Avenger badge.
Wow, in real time, on the air and all that?
Shh. Suddenly, they're bright. Good job, Brylang. You found it.
That's why he's the research department. There you
go. Why we're still here, Keepers of the Cash Flow, I need an email address for you.
You can send that to feedback at cashingnw.com.
That's brilliant. That's the best way to do it. Don't put it on the chat because then everybody will.
That's right.
Send you email and you probably don't want that.
It'll be solving everybody's puzzles. Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you think? Is that a wrap for tonight?
I think it's wonderful. I think we've had a good show. Goblin Dust, thanks again for hanging out with us tonight. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you guys. I had a good time and everything, and hope to see you all in the very near future.
You better believe it. You might see more of us than you want. Some of it in pirate gear.
That sounds great.
I need to come up with some.
Lots of it out there for sale.
Okay. Or you can buy it when you get there, right?
Yeah, she's got a shop. I don't know what all they have, but it's, you know, you'll find some, I'm sure. You can even make your own.
There you go.
Well, thanks, guys. You have a good evening and all that stuff.
Thank you very much. Talk folks, to you later, if you're not a pirate, go out and buy an eye patch and get out and get caching in the Northwest.
Sounds good.